Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's great to be together again in the praise of God. Welcome to those of you who are here in the room, and welcome to those who will be listening or watching at a later time. We are so glad and thrilled that we can share together in this way. Welcome, a special word of welcome to Matt Whitaker over here, our friend from Destiny Rescue. And Matt's been here a number of years now, and certainly if you're not familiar with Destiny Rescue, Matt will share a bit about that, but it's a project that we've supported here in the congregation for a number of years now the rescue of children from child exploitation in various places. So for those of us who are familiar with a little of their story, we'll know that there's it can be a bit challenging at times, and Matt will say a little bit more about that later on in the stories that he will share within that particular context. But Matt, you're very welcome here amongst us again. Matt and I catch up from time to time, have a cup of tea, and I know I really value the times of just sitting and talking about Destiny Rescue, but we talk about whole lots of things about the church, faith, all sorts of things related to that. So welcome, Matt. It's great to see you. And as has been the case the last couple of years, after morning tea, like after the service around Charbar and morning tea, there'll be opportunity to talk with Matt here, and he's got a few things set up which he will no doubt say some more about later. As I said last Sunday, in many parts of the life of the church, last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and many parts of the life of the church today is recognised as Trinity Sunday. And gee, in some ways I'm really glad that I didn't know this at the time, Matt, but it means that I don't have to try and explain the Trinity when you're here this morning talking, that you'll do the message. But the Trinity is a really vital part of our life as followers of Jesus, and we actually do pick up, and I'll pick up on that on some of the prayers that are used this morning, and in many ways this is part of what we connect with within the Trinity, is in our prayers, in what we sing, and the different aspects of that, but there won't be a deep theological explanation of the Trinity this morning. That's for another time. We worship God. Open our lips, O Lord, and we shall declare your praise. And God, make speed to save us and make haste to help us. Glory be to you, the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forevermore. Lord, as we gather together, help us to be alert to your presence. Help us to listen well this morning. May what we offer to you now be acceptable in and through that which Christ offers for us, and in whose name we pray. Amen. We sang this song last Sunday, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And again, this is one of the ways that we'll connect with looking at Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so I thought we'd sing this one again this morning, and I invite you to join in as you're able to, and we'll stand to sing. Thank you, Rosemary and Glenda. We hear from Matthew chapter 28.
In my Bible, this one is called Jesus Appears to His Disciples. The 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, even though some of them doubted. Jesus drew near and said to them, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age." May God help us to understand those words from his book.
As we come to this prayer, read some verses from Psalm 103. "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." We pray. And this is a prayer that was written back in the 5th century. "Worthy of praise from every mouth are you. Worthy of confession from every tongue. Worthy of worship from every creature is your glorious name, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For you created the world in your grace, and by your compassion you saved the world. To your majesty, O God, 10,000 times 10,000 bow down and adore, singing and praising without ceasing and saying, 'Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your praises. Hosanna in the highest.'" O Lord, it's in the confidence of those words that we come and acknowledge that we're not the people that you've called us to be. Forgive us and have mercy on us for those times that we've turned aside to things that seem much, much more attractive to us, only to discover once again that it is in you and only you is all that we need. And indeed, as you is our rescue, in you is our salvation. And so we give you thanks as we pray in and through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The saying, "and sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Hear then Christ's word of grace to us, that your sins are forgiven, and we say, "Thanks be to God." Amen. As a forgiven and renewed people, we share in the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby. In that prayer from the 5th century, we heard of these 10,000 times 10,000, this multitude that bow down and give praise to God. And this song picks up on that as well. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." We stand to sing.
Good morning, everybody, on this beautiful day. I went for a holiday last week. It rained every day, but but it's lovely to... We needed the rain, and it's lovely to see it today. Now, for the announcements. For Coolin Classic last week, we made a profit of $1,543. That's after expenses. Not so many people as the first concert, but it was still a great afternoon, and I think everyone really enjoyed it. Coffee and chat will be on this week with Reverend David at one table on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Tuesday is the Bible study day, 10:30. In the community centre, or 7 p.m. at Juana's, who's kindly offered to host the Bible study. Thank you, Juana. And Brisbane West Uniting Church at Moggill, they've invited us to their Grazing on the Gully. The next one is the 19th of June. It's 5 to 8 p.m. An event for everyone in the community, the third Friday of night of every month. It's free to come and sit. You can bring your dinner or buy it from food trucks that will be there. Play board games, chat with friends, listen to music, enjoy the outdoors, which will be pretty cool. But they've got heaters, and there's music from local musicians. I believe it's very good. I've heard of people say they've been. And the 18th of June is Music Lovers with La Viva Musica. That's the choir. And this time the entry fees after expenses will be donated to the choir leader Rhonda, who you probably have heard, her house burnt down in Moggill. Beautiful 1880s restored house, and all her musical instruments, art collections and everything. So we'll give a donation towards Rhonda's recovery. Don't forget to look at the church Facebook page that Reverend David and Courtney have been working on a lot, to see all our events and activities. And Reflections is due this Wednesday the 3rd, so if you have articles for Reflections, please send them to Dawn. Don't forget Rimmon's Refuge collection of non-perishable food items or toiletries. Art Burst is the 28th and 29th of August. More information coming on that. The 12th of June, Monday, that's the Women's Fellowship, and it'll be in the Community Centre this month. And the Men's Lunch will be Friday the 10th of May, 12:15 at one table, and you need to let Ewan know. Pardon? Oh, June, did I say May? I'm still in June. I'm still in May. These are all in June. And for any accountants out there, there's still that treasury vacancy. Please contact Reverend David or Wendy if you are interested, or if you can think of someone else who might be, because we need a treasurer. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Rosemary. And thanks for mentioning about Music Lovers next month. Some of you may have heard Rhonda's daughter on the radio during the week. A few of us did on the ABC, and gave a little bit more of a personal story about that. And Rosemary and I spoke just a couple of days ago. It seemed to be an appropriate thing to do, to offer some support in some way. Now, I haven't got my birthday dates with me that little birdie normally gives to me, and he's given that to me, but I just haven't got that in front of me. So I know, Cess, while you were away, you had a birthday. We had a prayer for you, but I think now that you're here, we'll have another prayer for you. Who else have we got birthdays this week or last week that I didn't pick up on?
Somebody called David Savage. Ah.
David Savage's birthday. Oh, yes, it is, yes. Later this week. Whatever, a Friday, I think it is.
The only one,
yes. That's it? Okay, well, we'll have a prayer shortly. And I wonder, any comments about Cool and Classic last weekend, last Sunday? Any particular comments about that at all?
Besides being a lovely, lovely concert, it was afterwards, talking to the students afterwards, down after coffee, and it was amazing how many of them are going to go overseas and further their studies. Some are going to London and then going on to Germany, but three of them that I spoke to for quite a while, they're all going to further their studies. One's going to do a master's degree. So it looks as if they're really going to look forward to a career in singing.
I'd just like to say a big thank you, because a lot of people did a lot of stuff to get that ready. And as usual, the young people from the con were very appreciative of the food. They really thought it was fantastic. And I did speak to a few of them and get them to go over to the tables, because I actually remember they're not very old and they are quite shy in some ways. And they were sort of ended up, after a lot of people had come and talked to them, they seemed to be a little bit at a loose end, just talking to each other. And I asked them, would they mind coming over to the tables where people were sitting who aren't as mobile? And they were very happy. And they ended up having a lovely chat with the two or three of the tables that we were there. So they are actually very approachable. But sometimes I think we forget they're also quite young and they need to have a little bit of encouragement. They're really going, you see them grow if any of them come back again another time. Just see the development.
Thanks, Dawn. Yes, they enjoy being here, really, and really part of that is the warmth of welcome that they receive from folk, which is really wonderful. And
And the lack of assessment.
Yeah.
They're not singing for class.
Yeah. There was a group sitting over here, I think, which was some of Victoria's family here, who have connections with the Presbyterian Church down the south side. Quite a few involved there. And so talking to the mum of one of the students afterwards, who has some connections with Star of the Sea Catholic Church over at Cleveland, over that way, sort of on the Redlands. And she's done some combined things with the Cleveland Uniting Church over there. And it's just interesting, just the connections and around. But also, it's really great to have them. Gabrielle, who couldn't sing, she was limited in what she could and couldn't sing. I know she was quite disappointed about that. But gee whiz. As I said, I think it was last year when Jake, I think it was, had a bit of a struggling voice. If I could sing, I'm feeling not so well, like she sang, even still, I'd be kind of a happy man, I think, you know. And it's time for us to... Oh, hang on, we'll have a prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunities that we have within the life of our congregation here to share amongst the community and the wider community. And thank you for the opportunity last Sunday afternoon and the previous Thursday as well, just to be able to enjoy the creativity of singing, but also of composers from so long ago, and be able to bring the joy that does. But also thank you for the conversations and the fellowship that follows. Please, we pray for each of the students who are here, whether that be on Thursday or on Sunday. help them amongst their studies, and somehow in the midst of that, Lord, that there may be a glimpse of your creativity and of your presence with them. We thank you, Lord, for those who have shared birthdays recently. We thank you for Seth, and we pray again for him. And thank you for the opportunity he's had to have some time away with Linda, and pray for your blessing upon him. And Lord, I guess I pray for myself this morning as well, for our household as we share in some birthday celebrations later this week as well. Thank you for each of them, and help each of us, Lord, as we reflect on life, as we reflect on faith and of your presence with us, that we may continue to look to you and of your blessings for us. In the name of Christ, amen. So we sing again, Father in Heaven, and this is one of D.T. Niles, one that again picks up on the Trinity as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And we'll stand to sing. Matt, I invite you to come forward, and just as you do that, I'll get your PowerPoint up on the screen here.
Well, look, while Reverend David is being a man of many talents here, getting everything sorted for us production-wise as well, thought I'd just say a good morning if I haven't had a chance to come and say hi to you yet. It really is such a pleasure to be here again with you this morning. This is my third year in a row now that I've had the privilege of being able to come and not just share about the work of Destiny Rescue, but obviously speak into the heart of our work and share about all the amazing things that God is doing in and through our work as well. So in our short time, I think this morning, I know there's some new faces, some people who might not have heard about our work. What I want you to understand right from the beginning, though, is just how impacting your partnership has been with Destiny Rescue. And I've got a slide to speak into that in a moment. But I want to be respectful of your time as well. So I'll keep it moving in this way. But over the last few years now, your church together has given $12,991.65, which is phenomenal. So can you give yourselves a big round of applause? Thank you so much. Look at that, amazing. Now there's a typo there. It actually doesn't represent six children. It is in fact seven children. And over the last 12 months, four of those children have been rescued because of the you've come together, you've not just been praying, but you've been giving and you've been leaning in. So from Destiny Rescue to you, can I just say thank you? Because unfortunately we're not able to get the kids obviously along here to share and say thanks in that way. But can I just say thank you? Because it is literally life-changing, and that's what we get the opportunity to explore a little bit more this morning, because these children And these numbers that you're seeing, that they're not just numbers, that these are real children, their lives have been restored, their lives have been turned around forever, and their futures are being rebuilt. And you have made that possible, so thank you so much. You know, and there's sometimes this question that pops into my mind, and I wonder that maybe when we get to heaven, that we might be stopped by one of these kids who might just say, hey, like, thank you, because without you, this would have not have been possible. That's how deep this work runs. This is how life transformative this work is. So before we go too much further, I do just want to give a little bit of a content warning. Obviously, this is a big topic. It can be hard to listen to the truth and the reality of the situations. But I'm not here to sensationalize this. I'm going to share this in a really sensitive way. But if you do need to get up and leave the room at any point, please just feel free to do so. But I think it's so vital that we are having this conversation, because we know that God cares deeply about vulnerable people, and I think so should we. So thank you. So for those who are newer here, who is Destiny Rescue? Well, we exist to rescue children from sexual exploitation and human trafficking, but then we want to make sure that we're equipping them to stay free. And you see, for us, that second part is really, really important, and it matters, because rescue can happen in a moment, but we know that restoration can take time, sometimes even years. So alongside rescue operations that we do with law enforcement and border checkpoints along, you know, the Nepal-India border there, we've got teams that will provide trauma counselling to these kids, safe housing, health checkups, education and vocational training, family reintegration, and of course, long-term care as well. And honestly, doesn't that sound like the gospel though? Coming alongside people, because we know that Jesus doesn't just rescue us from something, he restores us into something as well. So some of you may remember me sharing a little of a little girl called Chelsea last year, or maybe even the year before. The little five-year-old girl who we connected 395 Australians had been paying to have and watch her be exploited online. You know, I still think about Chelsea, and I wonder if you do too. But the heartbreaking reality is that there are so many more children that still exist just like Chelsea. They're still waiting, they're still vulnerable, still wondering if anyone sees them, which is why this work matters. And hearing stories like Chelsea's, seeing survivors become parents, nurses, even worship leaders, I'm reminded that rescue isn't something that they need. Rescue sits at the center of every Christian story, which makes me wonder, what has God rescued you from? And I want to start with that simple question this morning and let it sit with you just for a moment. What has God rescued you from? Fear? Shame? Addiction? Anxiety, brokenness, hopelessness, sin. Maybe from a life that looked okay externally, but internally felt lost. And yet somehow God met you there. He saw you, he pursued you, and he rescued you. Sometimes, if we're honest, I think we can forget just how much God has brought us out of. But throughout Scripture, one thing becomes really clear. People who encounter God's rescue are often sent back into the world carrying his mercy. See, God rescues people and invites them into his work. And one of the clearest examples, I think, is Moses. So I've titled this message, Moses, When God Interrupts Comfort. Because Moses isn't just someone simply that we admire in Scripture. He's someone God interrupts and then sends. And I want to suggest something, that disruption often sits in the uncomfortable space between oppression and freedom. We love freedom stories, don't we? They give us the warm and fuzzies. But less so the disruption in the middle. the obedience part, the uncertainty part, but often that's where God is working. So we're going to read from Exodus this morning, but let me first set the scene a little for you. See, Israel has been in Egypt for a long time now, generations, and at first they were welcomed because of Joseph, but eventually everything changed. A new Pharaoh rose to power. Fear became policy. Policy became oppression, and oppression became slavery. Whole families forced into brutal labor with no rights, no freedom, no way out. Yet in the middle of all of that, there's Moses. Once raised in Pharaoh's household, he had influence, privilege, opportunity, but then failure, mistakes, and running. 40 years in the wilderness, tending the sheep, ordinary life, a quiet life. And then God interrupts. In Exodus 3, verse 7 to 9, it says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them." God has seen, he has heard, he's aware, and then he rescues. I find that incredible, that because before God sends Moses, before freedom comes, before miracles comes, before rescue comes, he says, "I have seen, I've not ignored, I've not missed, I've seen. I have heard every cry, every desperate prayer, every moment Israel wondered, has God forgotten us?" And then he says, "I know their suffering." See, church, God doesn't observe pain from a distance. He actually enters into it. And isn't that ultimately what we see in Jesus? God stepping into suffering, into humanity, into brokenness. And maybe someone needs reminding today that just because God feels silent doesn't mean he's absent. And Israel waited generations, yet God was still working. Delay wasn't abandonment. And while Exodus happened thousands of years ago, did you know that oppression still exists today? Not metaphorically, but literally. Well over 1 million children are victims of exploitation. 4 out of 5 of those are girls or women. 60% of this will happen just on our back doorstep in the Asia Pacific region. And it is the fastest growing illegal trade in the world today. And you can, if you can see the screen behind me, you'll see a lot of different numbers. But what I want you to take away is that human trafficking generates $39.5 million of every single hour of every single day. And behind every statistic is someone's daughter, someone's child, someone God sees. And then I wonder how many vulnerable children must sit there and ask themselves the same question Israel once asked. Does anyone see me? Does anyone care? Well, a 16-year-old girl in Cambodia named Rizme likely asked those same questions. Pressure had fallen on her to support her grandmother and elderly aunt. Eventually, survival pushed her into work in a beer garden. And beer gardens are one of those places that they can seem seemingly innocent on the outside, but often hides exploitation beneath that surface. And because she was young, she was vulnerable, she was beautiful, predators noticed her. In fact, one of our agents described it was like a butterfly amongst spiders. But Exodus reminds us that God sees, God hears, and God knows suffering, and eventually God moves. And in Rizme's story, God's movement began through something incredibly ordinary, a conversation at church. Someone noticed, someone cared, someone refused to stay silent. And today, I want you to hear her story for yourself.
After worship, a woman approached a Destiny Rescue caseworker in Cambodia with a desperate plea. A girl was being exploited in a local bar. 16-year-old Rizmi was responsible for providing for her elderly grandmother. At the bar, her delicate beauty made her a target for predators, a vulnerability her boss was happy to exploit. When our rescue agents offered her a way to provide for her family without sacrificing her body, Rizmi took it. But after completing her post-rescue training, there were no jobs waiting for her. Our caseworkers prayed that God would provide a job for Rizmi. 2 days later, they got an unexpected phone call from a local salon owner in need of beauty techs. What the salon owner couldn't have known was that Rizmi aspired to work in the beauty industry. The salon owner is thrilled with Rizmi's dedication and bright attitude. God blessed one woman's choice to speak up. Now, you have the opportunity to do the same. Your choice right now could change someone's life forever. Choose rescue today.
Well, you know what stands out to me from Rizmi's story is that freedom isn't only the removal of chains. Sometimes freedom is recovering dignity, hope, identity, the ability to dream again. And church, that sounds so much like the gospel. God doesn't simply remove chains, he restores people. And hearing stories like Rizmi's, seeing survivors become employees and parents and worship leaders and business owners, I'm reminded that rescue sits at the center of every Christian story. And maybe that's why stories like Rizmi's resonates with us so deeply. Because throughout scripture, rescued people are often invited into God's rescue work for others. Then God says something confronting to Moses. In Exodus 3:10-12, he says, "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now go. For I am sending you." And Moses' response is basically like, "Who, me?" It's relatable though, isn't it? Because I think most of us assume that God will use someone braver, someone smarter, someone more qualified, someone with maybe fewer mistakes than us. But Moses had failure, he had regret, a very complicated past, 40 years in hiding, and yet God still says to him, "Go." Then God says something that changes everything, and that's in Exodus 3 verses 12, where he says, "I will be with you. I will be with you." Church, God's calling is rarely built on ability. It's more often about availability, obedience, even a willingness to say yes. Because Moses keeps resisting. He's like, "Who am I? What if they don't believe me?" Later on, "I'm slow of speech." Excuse after excuse. Yet God keeps responding, "I will be with you." And maybe that's encouraging because scripture is often full of hesitant people. Gideon, Jeremiah, Jonah, even Peter. God seems strangely comfortable choosing ordinary people. And why is that? Because at the end of the day, the glory always belongs to him. The miracle isn't Moses. The miracle is God with Moses. And eventually, That confidence in God becomes courage before Pharaoh. And eventually Moses stands before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at the time, and says, "Let my people go." Massive sentence. Massive disruption. But we often stop there because Exodus continues, "Let my people go so they may worship me." Freedom wasn't the destination. God was. Israel wasn't rescued merely from slavery. They were rescued for relationship, just like you and I. For worship, for belonging, for covenant. And that's the gospel too. Christianity isn't become better, try harder, fix yourself. No, we're rescued into knowing God, into family, into sonship, into daughtership, into belonging. And I want to share with you a story, because statistics can feel distant, can't they? But stories remind us that they are real. Last year, we met a young woman in Uganda called Sarah, just 17 years old. And when her parent became sick, she stepped in to provide for herself. For a year and a half, she sold herself to survive, to feed her family, to keep everyone going. She dropped out of school. Hopelessness slowly settled over her life. And over time, darkness became normal for her. Then one day, while visiting family, someone told her about our nearby Destiny Rescue Project. And for the first time in a long time, hope flickered in her heart. So she walked into her office, she filled out the forms. You know what she wrote? "I want to be rescued." That line gets me every time. Because I think underneath all of us, all of our different stories, the reality is, for many of us, that's what we wanted. That's what we needed. Broken, tired, and lost. And then somewhere along the way, asking God, "Please rescue me." I know that was my story. Sarah goes on to continue that after care, she later said something so beautiful. She said, "They treated me like a daughter." Think about that for a moment. After being treated like a product, she was treated like family by our team. Church, that's the gospel. God doesn't simply just remove the chains. He restores identity. And in Romans 8, it says we've been adopted into God's family. Not tolerated, not managed, family. And her story continues. Eventually, she faced another choice. She could compromise her faith in the job that she'd got, or she could trust God. So she left the job that she had. She walks into church. She gives away the last bit of her paycheck and says, "God, I am trusting you." And he did. God provided. Because obedience doesn't always guarantee comfort. But God remains faithful, not always immediately, but faithfully. And today she has an amazing government job with her own office. She's got stability, she's got faith, she's got hope. She's spiritually free, financially free, she's been restored. See, Moses confronted Pharaoh, but Jesus confronted sin. Death, darkness itself. Making a way for us back to God. And I think sometimes we can become familiar with that, the cross. We hear about it often, don't we? But think about what happened. The innocent one carried our guilt. The sinless one carried sin. The one deserving worship accepted suffering. Why? Because rescue costs something. And our rescue cost Jesus everything. See, church, Christianity isn't advice, it isn't self-improvement, and it isn't to try harder. It's rescue. God seeing humanity trapped and refusing to leave us here. That's why the gospel is called the good news. And maybe that's why rescue resonates with us so deeply, because every Christian has a rescue story. All got different details, but we've all got the same rescuer. And the beautiful thing is, God's rescue was never meant to just stop with us. We've been rescued by God and invited by him into his work of restoration, because Jesus is still rescuing to today. His heart for freedom hasn't changed. Rescue didn't stop in Exodus. It didn't stop at the cross. It continues, which is why after 25 years, we celebrate 25 years of rescues this year at Destiny Rescue. And it was one man's yes who said, "Yes, God," stepped out in obedience, couldn't unhear what he'd heard about two men bragging about what they could do to a child. So one man's yes to God 25 years ago has led us now to over 26,000 individuals who have been rescued. Majority of those are children. They're not simply numbers. These are sons, they're daughters. When I had the privilege of joining the team in 2023, that year we averaged 8 rescues a day, which was record breaking for us. The year after, we averaged 11 rescues a day. Last year, we averaged 16 rescues a day, and 10 of those were children. And did you know, of those 10, 5 will be rescued in collaboration with law enforcement in what we do, raids. 3 of those will be rescued via our covert and rapport building operations, which is getting kids out of bars and brothels and nightclubs and massage parlors. And 2 of those will be rescued through our border intervention at Nepal. And it's all about prevention work there. 99% of the kids that we rescue there, they've not yet been exploited, which is really vital work. But church, while we've sat here this morning, there have been kids that have been moving towards freedom. Church, here's the truth. If we don't buy their freedom, someone will buy their innocence, their silence, and their future. But your generosity can change that and is continuing to change that for these kids, because your money can go where you can't. Your generosity can bring justice, and it's the kind of justice that all of these kids long for, so they never have to live in fear again. Do you know it costs $2,100 to rescue a child and get them on their pathway to freedom? That's $175 a month, $6 a day. That's a cup of coffee. But small things in our world become enormous things in someone else's. So how do we respond? Well, we can all pray. I've got some prayer points down the front with me. I'd love for you to take one of those home. And please be praying for our teams, for the girls and the children that we're yet to rescue. Pray for our aftercare workers. It requires all of us standing shoulder to shoulder. We know who this fight is against. Or you can spread the word. Feel free to advocate, raise awareness. You can host something. Maybe you want to introduce us to someone who you know who can help bring rescue, just in the same way that we were able to rescue Rizme, was because someone spoke up. Or you can give today. Perhaps you feel stirred by what you've heard. You can respond. And there's all donations over $2 are tax deductible. It's all safe. It's secure. You can donate through our website. I've got a card reader here, or cash. But please just know that every donation will go directly towards rescuing children. Or perhaps you want to partner monthly and become what we call a rescue partner. And this is where, because monthly support continues to bring rescue to children month in and month out. And you know, maybe one day we'll get to heaven and there'll be a child who will walk up to us and say, "Thank you. I'm here because you didn't look away." And I know some of you have been partnering with us for years now. As a church, we've had this joyous privilege of doing this in partnership. Some praying, some giving, some advocating. And sometimes when we talk about rescue, numbers can start to feel distance. I just mentioned 26,000. I mentioned 16 rescues a day. There's statistics, there is percentages, but every number has a name, a face and a family. And so before we finish today, I do want to close with this story of a girl called Zira. Zira was 17 years old. She'd been running a small food stall, helping to support her family. But then the government came through, demolished and destroyed everything. Income gone, security gone, hope was disappearing for zero. And eventually someone in her world suggested, well, why don't you sell yourself to make money? See, what began as survival for Zira slowly became darkness, fear, and hopelessness. Then Zira heard about Destiny Rescue, and these are her words. I was counseled, encouraged, and told that all is not lost. I love that. All is not lost. Imagine hearing those words after hopelessness. Then she said, Destiny Rescue held my hand, pulled me out of the dark. And later, as of today, I'm earning decently. And as you can see, I'm even smiling. Then this line, I've never been this happy. And I thank God for today. As I read those words this week, I thought, how incredible that you can go from that kind of situation, living in hopelessness, to now speaking of joy. But that's what restoration is all about. That's what God does. Not simply removing chains, but restoring dignity, identity, and hope. And I've thought about this question a lot this week, you know. And I often wonder, what would Zira's life look like if nobody responded? If nobody noticed? If nobody prayed? If nobody gave? Because rescue stories begin with ordinary people who decide not to look away. And maybe that's why rescue stories resonate so deeply with us. Because every one of us who knows Jesus has a rescue story too. The gospel is the greatest rescue story ever told. God saw us, he heard us, he came for us and made a way to freedom. But God's rescue is never meant to stop with us. So whether your response today is one to pray more, to partner, to give, to speak up, or simply refuse to look away, can I say thank you? Because every act of obedience matters. Every act of generosity matters. Every child, as our founder would say, is worth the risk, worth the love, and worth the cost. And because of this church, you're bringing restoration and hope to children all around the world. And you know, I think the church is at its most beautiful when we don't step away and hide from darkness, but we move towards children who are still living in chains. Why don't we close in prayer? Lord, I thank you that you are God who still sees, you still care, and you still rescue. Lord, I want to thank you for every child restored. Lord, the countless lives that have been changed because of the incredible generosity from Kenmore Uniting Church. Lord, I pray that you would bless every home here. Lord, we lift up to you those children that are still yet to be rescued, Lord. And Lord, would you help us to continue to notice? Would you help us to be people that would respond to your cry? And may the church continue reflecting your goodness and your freedom to those still waiting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks very much, Matt, and thank you for the work that you do and your team and so many across Destiny Rescue, and it's an extraordinary work that you do. Folks, I encourage you just during the week to listen again to that, jump on website, wherever you can listen to that. Can I just check, Juan, are you clean of prayers for Destiny Rescue and yours? I assume you are, yeah, great, that's excellent. And folks, can I encourage you, as you think about what Matt has shared today, particularly the way that we can respond to that, I know as a congregation we support Destiny Rescue. There's certainly opportunity to do that individually, and if you do that, that's fantastic, do that individually. And because one of the projects that we support here, I just encourage you to think about that and just the different ways that we, whether it be thinking about Refresh Shop, whether it be thinking about the other way, the giving that we give just straight up, whether it be through coming to things like last Sunday afternoon, which raises funds, or the conversations that we're having about the 3-2-1 introduction to Christian faith stuff that we're trialling on Tuesdays, which ultimately is about this invitation to people to come and to learn about Jesus, and to come that all of those things together are worth it. They're all worth it. Because they get to do things like Matt has talked to us about this morning. It provides us the opportunity to give, and provides us the opportunity to invite people to be a part of this story. That's what I was going to say. So thanks again, Matt, and I certainly encourage folks, just take the opportunity. That's just a few of the stories on the website. There's a whole bunch of other stories as well, and just the difference that it makes. So thank you so much, Matt. Jenny's going to play some music, and as that happens, we'll receive our offering, and then there'll be a prayer. Juana will come and lead us in some prayer. We'll have a final song, and then we'll have a blessing. So our offering. Lord God, you have given so generously of yourselves to us in and through Christ, and we pray for your blessing upon what we bring this day, that it may be used for the furthering of your kingdom here in this place, in this community, this nation, and across the world. In and through the name of Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Let us begin with prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude. Thank you, O Lord, our Creator, for the gift of this beautiful day, a new beginning. We thank you for crisp winter mornings, for the freshness of the air, the light of this new day dawning, a reminder for us of your presence, your hand in all creation. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks for the people who nurture us each day in faith. Our minister, Reverend David, our guest speakers, for instance, Matt Whitaker, the members of our congregation all come to mind, but also the occasional stranger who crosses our paths. We thank you for the risen Christ who walks alongside us each day, as we go about our ordinary lives, interacting with friends, neighbors, colleagues, and strangers. We thank you for the many blessings we receive each day. Help us to pay attention to the little acts of kindness, wisdom, or care, so that we can see your love at work. We give thanks for the rich cultures, stories, and spiritual wisdom of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. As we come together on this Reconciliation Sunday, we acknowledge the first peoples of this land and give thanks for the wisdom, faith, and witness of Aboriginal people. Heal the wounds of the past and guide us in the path of justice, truth, and reconciliation. Help us to do our small little bit, to listen deeply, to walk humbly with one another, and to be instruments of peace and healing where there is hurt, and where there is despair, help us to spread hope.
We thank you for the assurance, faith and hope you give us with these words, I am with you always to the end of the age. O healing Lord, when we are discouraged and challenged by what is happening in our fractured world, help us to continue to place our trust in you and believe that you will be with us always in your time. Holy Spirit, help us to be available to share the good news through our words, our thoughts, our actions, and the way we live our lives each day. Help us to open our hearts to those in need around us. We give thanks, O healing Lord, our rescuer, for the ministry and mission of Destiny Rescue, and for all who dedicate their lives to bringing hope, freedom, to restore dignity and identity, and healing to young people who have experienced exploitation, abuse, and trafficking. O Lord, bless Matt Whitaker and his team with wisdom as they make difficult decisions. Give them courage when the work is challenging and strength when the burden is heavy. May your blessing rest upon the staff, volunteers, and supporters of Destiny Rescue, and may their work bear fruit in lives transformed, communities strengthened, and hope renewed. We pray for those who have been rescued. May they know safety, healing, and love. May they discover their worth as your beloved children and find new pathways filled with possibility and hope. Let us pray too for the vulnerable in our midst, the underprivileged, the unemployed, the homeless, the marginalized, and those of us suffering from loneliness, anxiety, fear, illness, and loss. O Lord, our rescuer, give us the courage to feel secure in the knowledge that you are always there for us. Let us now say the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from every evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We stand to sing our final hymn this morning.
Oh,
I really hope our prayer is in that third verse as we leave today. Breathe on me. All my life refine until this earthly part of me glows with your fire divine. May that be indeed our prayer this week. Now, I haven't drawn attention to a painting at the back, but I do want to mention that this morning. Thank you, Marion. That's one of Marion's paintings, particularly for Trinity Sunday. And I think we'll have that up for next week. You might just want to have a chat with Marion. Maybe next week there might be opportunity, Marion, just to say a bit more about that. But please feel free to have a conversation with her and just come up and have a look at it as well. But thank you, Marion, for that contribution today. I just want to finish as well. We would love to have a lot of, and I do make this comment from time to time, we would love to have a lot of kids running around on Sunday morning here and in different ways. And folks, this is part of our children's ministry that we have here, okay? And we're working on all that other stuff about kids and families, absolutely, but every gesture of kindness that is expressed to the kids and their parents as they walk to the kindy on a morning or afternoon when you're here is a children's ministry. Every